Welcome, everybody, to Inspiration in 10, where we share inspirational stories, articles, and Torah thoughts in memory of and le'ilui nishmat, my father, Harav Gershom ben Harav ben Sin. So some of you know that I really look forward to Yom Kippur. It's sort of a Rebbetzin's holiday. Although I'm not complaining about the usual cooking, baking, arranging, serving, but having a day where I don't have to worry about anything involving food service, it really gives me an opportunity to zoom into my prayers, hopefully with a little more devotion, a little more kavana. Granted, there still are responsibilities, especially when the shul is literally in my home for the entire 26 hours. But even for me, it's the ability to live life on a different level for those 26 hours. Notwithstanding my kitchen reprieve, there are other reasons that we're grateful to God for the holy day of Yom Kippur. Yet I totally get it that there are many who dread Yom Kippur. After all, there are many other what seem like lighter days on our Jewish calendar. Firstly, there's fasting, there's four other restrictions as well as the regular Shabbat restrictions. That may not appeal to many who prefer Purim or Simchas Torah or even Hanukkah. I mean, eating latkes or donuts, lighting some candles comes very easy for us Jews. Even eating a hamantash or a krepel, that doesn't take much effort. But seriously, what is it that really instills this fear or sometimes even dread about approaching Yom Kippur? It's not in the scope of this class to go into a detailed answer, but for a short analogy, I'll tell you, I personally have a hard time looking in the mirror. I'm not so crazy about what I see. When people think of the Day of Judgment, it's probably more common that most of us would rather procrastinate taking a really good look inward and seeing what we can change. I mean, it's hard work. We probably would sooner go to the dentist, even though we subject ourselves to physical pain, even drilling, in order for the dentist to clean out any decay and fix it. We even pay him, and we say thank you for all that temporary pain he's inflicted upon us. Well, I recently heard a very powerful story, which I think can help all of us realize that we can access a very special power on these days and, of course, on Yom Kippur. The story goes that there was a group of young men just after the Holocaust, and they were making a Seder. They were going to sit together and sit and make a Seder in the camps still. I think it was in the DP camps at that point. And they got advice from the Blujava Rebbe, the great Holy Rebbe, and he told them that when you sit together as a Seder, you may not have everything as you're used to it at home, but when you get to Avadim Hayinu, sit together and each one tell your personal story of your slavery, of your experience in the camps. Somebody compiled a booklet after that Pesach in Auschwitz, after the war was over, and there was one very powerful story that stands out. It was told by one of these young men. He said that he was in Auschwitz for 1.5 years. And it was the days close to the end of the war. They heard that the Russians are coming and that they will be saving them. There was tremendous anticipation. There was hope, finally. The Germans were going to be hopefully taken over by the Russians. And these Jews got excited. But of course, the Germans heard this and they tried to quash their excitement. Your day will never come. You will never get out of here. We will kill you before the Russians get here. And of course, the Germans manage to really quash their excitement. But within a day or two, this young man said it all happened in an instant. In a blink of an eye, all of a sudden, the Russians were there. The German soldiers were running for their lives. The camp doors were open, and he said, we young men, our first thought was, some of us food, and some of us thought, clothing, I'm freezing, I want some warmth. He said, I was one of those that ran to the storehouses, which I knew contained lots and lots of clothes, German army uniforms, warm clothes, hats. That was where I ran first. And I quickly grabbed a German uniform, a nice, warm German uniform and hat, and I put it on. I came out, and I saw that the Russians had indeed entered the camp, and I quickly went to where the crowds of people were. They were all surrounding the Russian soldiers and thanking them for coming to rescue them, and I wanted to do the same. But before I knew it, I felt an arm around my neck, and I stiffened up. I thought, oh my gosh, it's a German soldier. I turned around, and to my surprise, it wasn't a German soldier, it was a Russian. He thought I was a German soldier, and I started to scream, no, 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 I'm not with them, I'm not one of them. I'm a Jew, ich bin a Yid, ich bin a Yid. But of course, I was dressed as a German soldier. And he gave me a big slap, and he shoved me into a car with a lot of other German soldiers. And I kept screaming, I'm not one of them. Ich bin a Yid. And they just said, keep quiet, they use a different word, or we'll shoot. And now I was really despondent. He said it was worse than when he had parted from his family. It was worse than when the Germans had quashed all of his hopes. He was shoved into a holding cell with true evil Germans. And now he was really despondent. He was looking out of his cell. It was a makeshift cell. He was looking out, and he sees that one of the Russians who are guarding them looks Jewish. He looks him into the eye, and he starts to scream, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This is the prayer that most Jews are familiar with, no matter what education they've had. And this Russian looks at him, and he left. He comes back a while later with two more Russian soldiers. They take this Jew who was in a German uniform. They take him out, and they start questioning him. You're Jewish? And he says, yes. And he starts answering, speaking in Yiddish, trying to let them know he's really Jewish. And they start asking him. They question him. They say, tell us, what is the first Mishnah in the chapter of Brachot? It's one of the Mishnayot that we learn. And of course he knew it. And then they said, what's the first Mishnah in Eila Metzias? Again, one of the Mishnayot that we have. And he knew it because he had gone to yeshiva. They realized that this indeed was a Jew, and he just had donned a German uniform. And they quickly took him. They gave him food. They were careful to give him certain foods. They took off the German uniform. They gave him some warm clothes. And he turned to the Russian soldiers, and he started to thank them. Thank you for rescuing me. And they said, don't, it's not us that rescued you. It's the Shema Yisrael that rescued you. Say thank you to the Shema Yisrael. The essence of a Jew, the neshama, the soul, like that young man, is being schlepped all over the place against his will. It's in our bodies. But the real pleasure of the soul, the real pleasure of the neshama, is connecting with God. It's participating in the Torah. It's doing mitzvot. It's keeping Shabbat. It's helping another Jew. But our neshama is being schlepped all over the place. And it's going into places that it doesn't feel it belongs. It wants to scream, Shema Yisrael, I am not with them. This is not me. But there's one time a year when finally the neshama gets to really call out and let us know where it wants to be. It's a time when it can really show what it identifies with. During these special days, as we zero into our spiritual side, to our core, and we strive to get closer to God through increased prayer, through good deeds, our soul gets to finally shine. On Yom Kippur, when we detach from most of the physical pleasures of life, and we connect with our inner voice, our pure and our lofty soul, our neshama, which wants to lead us on the right path, we literally scream out at the end, at Ne'ilah, we scream out, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. We scream, Hashem Hu Elokim, God is the only true God. Our soul calls out, this is the true me. Maybe during the year it seemed like I looked different. That was the German uniform. I was being schlepped to activities and actions that were not really me. This Yom Kippur me, that's the real me. That's the one I want to see when I look in the mirror. This coming year, I'll try to live my life more in sync with my Shema Yisrael me and remain true to my real core. That Shema Yisrael saves me. And with that attitude, it makes so much sense that we begin the holy elevated day of Yom Kippur with the bracha of Shehachiyanu v'kiimanu v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh. This is that blessing that we recite when something's totally new for us this year, like a new fruit, a new garment, a new mitzvah like Chanukah or hearing the Megillah, but we're not doing any of that. So why are we reciting the Shehachiyanu in the beginning of Yom Kippur? Because we're reciting the Shehachiyanu on ourselves. When we look deeply inward, we're seeing the new me that I'm striving to be. May we merit to live up to our potential. May we allow our neshama to shine and feel comfortable with how we behave all year. May we have the strength to use these days and Yom Kippur to their maximum. And then, of course, may we have a gemar chatima tova when we're sealed for a truly sweet year with inner peace, with true nachat from our families, robust health, material success, spiritual growth, and abundant blessings from Aleph to Taf, every letter of the alphabet, where God replies with a resounding amen to our blessing of Shehachiyanu v'kimanu v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh. And just before I close, if I have offended anyone with anything that I've ever said or done this year, I sincerely ask you for forgiveness. I thank you, everyone, for elevating the airwaves with me together. Le'iloi Nishmat, my father, Rav Gershom and Harav Ben-Sion. Please remember, a little light dispels a lot of darkness. Candlelighting in South Surrey is at 6:43 this Shabbat. And for Yom Kippur, candlelighting is at 6:39. Thank you, everyone, and good Shabbos.